Is it possible to escape from hate? This is the question R. Derek Black had to face when charting a path out of a community built on racism and anti-Semitism. Derek's father, Don Black, is a former member of the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party, and the co-founder of the neo-Nazi website Stormfront. Raised as their father's heir apparent, Derek was a vocal supporter of white supremacy throughout childhood, but now has a different perspective, as told in the new memoir, The Klansman's Son, My Journey from White Nationalism to Anti-Racism. Here's Derek.
Hi, my name is Derek Black, an advocate for anti-racism and current doctoral candidate in history. And I'm someone who grew up as the child of two of the central leaders and founders of the American white nationalist movement. I joined my dad in giving national interviews advocating for the racist and anti-Semitic cause before I was even an adolescent. By the time I went to college, I had become an international spokesperson for the movement and a presumed leader in waiting. In college, however, after initially flying under the radar, I was outed and spent several years engaging with that new community. At the end of that experience, I condemned the beliefs I'd grown up in, and I've spent the decades since advocating against the movement I once expected to lead. Insight number one. The role of ideology in a person's foundational belief is to reaffirm their identity and community connections. I recognize this fact only after I had left the movement that I'd grown up in. What kept people in an ideological community that brought them so much social stigma and criticism was the feeling of being supported by the loyal community that reaffirmed their identity. New followers often showed up with common, and therefore less extreme, racist views that had been dominant in the white communities they grew up in. What reaffirmed them was the bonds they formed. It was a movement that defined membership through demonstrations of ideological commitment and familiarity with the movement's history and symbolism. Learning the arguments that white nationalists used to describe their all-encompassing view of the world became the measure of inclusion in that community. No one saw themselves as doubling down and amplifying these racist and anti-Semitic views out of a shallow desire to fit in or to justify the inequality they benefited from. Instead, they spent nearly all their time justifying their beliefs with false science, inaccurate historical arguments, and anecdotal experiences. Over time, becoming members of this marginalized movement marked them as people who saw themselves standing against mainstream society. Their identities became defined by collective resentment and a shared understanding of who their enemies were. No evidence could reach them. Not because they were uneducated or ignorant, but because their sense of identity and community relied on the fact that they continued to believe in the cause. Insight number two. Persuading anyone to change their beliefs about something fundamental to their identity is the same thing as asking them to change their community. It was only once I had condemned the movement I was raised in that I could finally see what seems obvious in retrospect. I was afraid to change my mind in the end because I knew it would mean losing the sense of safety and security that this community had provided all my life. It was only after I no longer believed in the supposed evidence for racist beliefs that I was forced to admit it was the fear of losing all the connections, care, and love I'd known until my early 20s. That kept me from following my values and condemning their beliefs. I had arrived at college believing I was someone who followed evidence and someone who did not reject anyone simply because of who they were. That led me to develop deep relationships with students of color and Jewish students. Although I didn't immediately abandon my exclusionary worldview, it was the process of navigating that contradiction, of loving this new community and also being someone who caused them pain, and that opened me to finally hearing and truly considering the plentiful and rigorous counter-evidence to racist beliefs. Insight number three. Our values are more fundamental and consistent to our sense of identity than the specific facts that we believe. Too often, we imagine that the process of changing someone else's mind is foremost a process of arguing with them and convincing them to accept better evidence. My life experiences have taught me instead that while evidence and reason are important in that process, changing what facts we believe is much easier than changing what community we identify with. It is our values that drive how we interact with others, whether we see ourselves as loyal friends, seekers of knowledge, reliable partners, or any other list of things at the core of our sense of self. We adopt our worldviews, decide what's true or good evidence, and sometimes fundamentally change our minds about both of those things based on who we feel responsible for and connected to. But we allow ourselves to become connected and to feel responsible and to love or reject others by following our values. The white nationalist movement demands ideological conformity from people who generally see themselves as independent thinkers, loyal friends, and moral absolutists. What often unites them, even if they might not put it this way, is that they have seen the unequal society they were born in and they refused to look away. But unlike anti-racists, who choose to act to dismantle that unfairness, white nationalists seek, with all their being, to justify the hierarchy. They refuse to believe the reason people who are seen as white receive more status, resources, respect, or safety is because of a social crime. Instead, they seek out a community who tells them that that crime is actually just, and that offers them supposed evidence to support that belief. Insight number 4. Anti-racism is a harder thing to argue for than white nationalism, because it demands that people not accept the status quo. My dad often repeated the mantra that the members he was looking for weren't necessarily extremists or militants. He wanted people who started sentences with the phrase, "I'm not a racist, but..." Whatever it was that they said next was the seed of a much more extreme belief that would make them feel at home in his community. The most effective pitch for white nationalist beliefs was always one that told people they did not need to feel guilty for being the beneficiaries of an unequal society. More than anything else, white nationalists told white people that calls of racism were nothing more than jealousy or hatred being expressed towards them as white people. Anti-racism, on the other hand, is a belief system that is much more human. Instead of justifying or advocating for separation, it is a worldview that seeks constantly to expand the circle of people that anyone can find connection, value, and loyalty to. Despite that humane aspect, it is a harder thing to advocate for than segregation or justifications of inequality ever felt. Anti-racism asks people to constantly change, to spend their lives trying to find new forms of connection with an ever-expanding group of people. It can be overwhelming. It is not less natural than the fear peddled by racism, but it can feel more risky to ask people to imagine something that does not yet exist. Insight number 5. To change someone's mind on something core to who they are, you must first be able to argue it as well as they can. It was the context of widespread campus outrage from a small community who I knew personally that opened me up to asking the question, where is the misunderstanding? I did not want to see myself as someone intentionally causing harm to people I cared about. Yet it was ultimately years of intense conversations in private that allowed me to accept there was no misunderstanding other than my own. I was only able to have those conversations in dorm rooms, on walks, and in long car rides because I was talking to someone who had become a specific person in my life. I had spent my entire life among a community of people who said everyone else in the world didn't understand us. My experience at college was not one of hearing that racism was bad for the first time. Instead, it was the first time I felt like I could no longer fall back on the belief that the people on the other end of that message didn't understand me. Instead, that specific person, after hearing me out over months, could recite back to me what I believed as well as I could. And yet, she also was clear that she believed it was wrong on every level. It is a rare quality in someone to be able to sit with that level of dissonance, to know and love someone who you fundamentally abhor the beliefs of. Yet that is what is necessary to be able to engage on the level necessary for that level of change. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the experiences and lessons I've put in my book, now that I have perspective to look back on them with some clarity.
Thank you, Derek. That was R. Derek Black with 5 Big Ideas from The Klansman's Son, My Journey from White Nationalism to Anti-Racism. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.